Well, good morning and happy Sabbath once again. Sabbath is a wonderful time where we can come together to experience a relationship that God designs for us to have. He created us as social beings to have fellowship with one another. In fact, we are preparing for society in heaven where what we see today and what we experience now is just a foretaste. It's just a shadow of what God has prepared for each one of us. This morning, our subject, as you can tell from the screen, this topic that we're going to look at is the subject of Star Wars. Now, I know what some of you may be thinking. Brother Andy, you've lost your mind this time. You've really lost it now. Don't you know that Star Wars, it's just a movie. That's all it is. It's fairy tale. It's not real. Why would you want to bring this topic here to a church to teach God's word? Well, my brothers and sisters, is it just a movie is the question I want to ask this morning. Is it just a movie? Is it just a fairy tale? Or did Hollywood take the concept from God's word and developed a whole movie series? We're going to see from the Bible the true Star Wars, where this concept came from. Now, if you're thinking about this, if you're thinking about these characters, these figures, yes, that is just a movie. That is just entertainment. This series, however, the concept and this theme came from the Bible. In fact, they stole this idea from God's word, and they didn't give God any credit for this. The real Star Wars is found in the word of God. In fact, this movie series is not original. There's nothing there that they came up with of themselves. They got it from the word of God. And boy, let me tell you, they're making a lot of money off of this. They're making billions, millions and billions of dollars. And if you notice, it's been commercialized because the battle never ends. The conflict never stops. Evil never ceases to exist. And good never triumphs. Somebody told me a couple weeks ago that when you consider how many different productions they've made, when you consider the television series and the movie series, and then the cartoon series, and then their Lego series, they have over 30 different productions off this battle between good and evil. And they said, oh, this year they did the last one. Friends, it's not the last one, brothers. And they're making too much money off of this. And the battle never ends. The rebellion never ends. It continues. It has to continue because it's making too much money. But my brothers and sisters, I want to tell you this morning that the real biblical account of Star Wars is so much better. It's so much, much encouraging because it's real and it's not make-believe. The central theme of the Bible is a conflict between good and evil. Brothers and sisters, we are at war, if you didn't know. You say, well, what are you talking about? Well, are you talking about the war over there in the Middle East? No, friends, you and I were born in a battlefield. In fact, the battle and the war that we are involved in is not taking place in just somewhere in the Middle East or somewhere in Europe or Asia. And it's not taking place on some faraway galaxy or some other, I don't know, somewhere beyond the Milky Way, beyond the sun. No, friends, the real conflict, the real Star Wars, the real battle between good and evil is taking place right here, right now. It takes place in your heart. It's a battle over your mind. There's a war over your soul. And let me tell you, God knows the value of your soul. And He knows the value and worth that you have. And the devil knows the value of your soul. And they're locked into an irrepressible conflict over your life. And the battle is over you. And friends, we're not observers in this biblical depiction of Star Wars. You're not going to pay for a ticket and sit down and watch the battle up on the screen. No, friends, you are in the middle of the conflict. You are in the middle of all the action. You're not an observer. You are a participant, and you will have to take sides on one, either for one or for the other. But let's look at the Bible. Let's get to see what the Bible teaches about this. I'm going to read from the book of Revelation, chapter 22 and verse 16. What does the Bible say about Star Wars? Revelation 22, verse 16. Now, if you have a red letter edition, this is a verse that's in red letter. So this is Jesus speaking here. In Revelation 22, verse 16, it says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. Brothers and sisters, the churches have to understand this message. All the churches need to know clearly that we are at war. And notice what else Jesus says. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. Oh, brothers and sisters, who is the bright and morning star? Jesus is described as a bright and morning star. He is not just the son of Abraham. He is not just the son of David. He is not just the son of God. He is the bright and morning star. In fact, that is one of his descriptions of his character and of his glory. He's not just, this is not just describing his exceeding glory as he illuminates the universe, but he is the light of all men. He is the light that wants to come into your life to illuminate and to shine in our lives. So Jesus is the star in Star Wars, but it's not just Jesus. It is not just Jesus. Let's look at this next slide. Let's go to Revelation chapter 12 and verse 4. Revelation chapter 12, verse 4, that gives us another description of this theme of Star Wars. Notice it says in verse 4, and his tail, it's describing a power, a sinister evil power. His tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the ground. So a third of the stars were taken from heaven and cast down to the ground. Well, who are these stars? Well, let's allow the Bible to tell us what it means. Go to verse 9 of Revelation chapter 12. It says, and that dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan. So the devil is a dragon. Satan is a dragon. And it was his tail. Notice, which deceived the whole world, he was cast out into earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So Satan is that dragon. And it was his tail that cast down the stars of God to this earth. And those stars are angels. So the angels, my brothers and sisters, are part of the stars. But oh, friends, listen to this. It's not just the angels. That would be sufficient to have a conflict and a war, but friends, it goes even further than that. Let's turn to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 12. Who else are the stars in this whole concept of Star Wars and the battle over good and evil? Turn to the book of Daniel chapter 12 and notice what it says in verse 3. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 3. It says, those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. My brothers and sisters, those who are saved in this world by the glory and grace of God, the Bible says, in the kingdom made new, they will shine like the stars forever and ever and ever. Praise the Lord. But the key word here, it says those who are wise. What does it mean to be wise? The Bible says that the fear of the Lord is what? The beginning of what? Wisdom. Those who fear God. It also says that the fool in his heart says what? There is no God. Those who are wise are those who fear God and who give him glory, who live for him, who try to please him, who are trying to serve him. And those who are fools are those who say, I don't believe. I don't believe in anything. And brother, let me tell you about this conflict. If you believe that there is no God and you're not accountable to no one, you better make sure there's no God, because he's coming again. We're going to have to see him, and we're going to have to confront him very soon. But those who are saved, my brothers and sisters, those who are wise, those who submit and surrender their lives to Christ, it's described as stars. They're described as stars that will live forever and ever and ever. Did you know what this means? It means that God's eternal purpose for you, think about this, God's eternal purpose from the foundation of the earth is for you to be a star to shine for Christ. You're a star in God's eyes. You have value, you have worth, you have purpose in God's eyes. Oh, brothers and sisters, praise the Lord. And if we are faithful, we will shine forever and ever in God's kingdom. But let's develop this concept a little more. Notice Revelation chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand. Jesus is described as having seven stars in his hands. That's the vision that John saw. What are those seven stars that he holds in his hands? Notice from Gospel Workers, page 13. It says, God's ministers, oh friends, let me tell you, it matters not what kind of ministry you have. But if you are serving God, whether it's through a homeless ministry, or through a cooking ministry, or through a preaching ministry, or through a track ministry, if you serve God, if you work for him, if you join his army and you co-work with him in the salvation of souls, the Bible says that God's ministers are symbolized by the seven stars. You are a star in Star Wars if you've given your life to Jesus. If you give your heart to him, if you serve him, you are a star in his hands. And notice, which he who is the first and the last has under his special care and protection. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We are never alone. We're never alone in this battle of life that we were born into. Now, the story of Star Wars. The story of Star Wars is a story of a God and his great care and his great love and his great concern for his creation. He knows the value of a soul. Jesus says, what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Jesus says, what will it profit if you gain the whole world and lose your soul? Jesus says, your soul is worth more than this whole world. Because one soul that lives forever, think about this, eternity. It's hard for our finite minds to grasp, but one soul saved will do more, will live more, will enjoy more than everybody else who's ever lived and died. Because we're talking about eternity. And it's God's care for his creation and for the world that he made. It's a story about a loving God. But the Star Wars is also a story about a world in rebellion. And we have to talk about that, my brothers. It's not the easiest thing to talk about rebellion. But you know, friends, we have to talk about it while there's yet time to talk about it. Because there's going to come a time where we're not going to be able to talk about this, and it'll be too late. But rebellion, my friends, rebellion is an attitude that says, I don't care. Don't tell me what to do. I want to live the way I want to live. I want to eat what I want. I want to do what I want. I want to smoke what I want. I want to drink what I want. I'm going to marry who I want. I'm going to be with who. And don't say nothing to me because I don't care. That's rebellion. And we are in a planet of rebellion. And it's everywhere. It's in the schools. It's in the home. It's in the marriages and families. It's on television. It's in the radio. It's in the church. It was in the nation of Israel. It will exist in the last days. Many times the reason why we don't recognize it and we don't see it is because we cover it up. Very sophisticated. We have very sophisticated ways to cover up our rebellion. You know, Lucifer covered up his rebellion in heaven. In heaven, Satan didn't say, I'm going to rebel against God. Who wants to join me? You know what he said? He said, I want to improve God's government. I want to make God's government better. God, you have something good, but I have some ideas that's going to help make it better. Sounds good, huh? On the surface, it sounds good. But part of that plan was for him to set himself above God. That was part of the rebellion. And if I was God, you would be in a much better situation. You would be in a much better place. But I have to be God. And obviously, God did not consent to that change. Then we have Saul. You remember King Saul? He covered up his rebellion. And he covered up his rebellion this way. He says, I have performed the commandments of God. I have done what God says. And the prophet said, if that's the case, then why do I hear all the sheep? And why do I hear the noise of cattle? And why do I hear all these animals? You are rebellion against God. See, man covers it up. So he thinks he's right with God, and he's not right. What about Korah? Remember Korah and the rebellion in the nation of Israel against Moses? The greatest rebellion in the old ancient church. And Korah said, I want to help Moses. Moses, I want to help you. Sounds good, huh? Praise the Lord. We need help, right? The church needs help, but not rebellion. Not that kind of a help. And his concept was he had a better plan, and they were going to go back to Egypt. But he convinced the people that he was trying to help. Then the most famous one, the most sinister one, is Absalom. You remember Absalom, the son of David? He covered up his rebellion by an act of worship. He said to his father, now this sounds good. Boy, what parent doesn't want to hear this? He said to his father, he says, oh, father, I want to go offer a sacrifice to God. I want to serve God. I want to go to the temple and give a vow to honor and to worship God. Does that sound good? Yes, that sounds wonderful. Which parent doesn't want to hear their children say that kind of, give that kind of commitment? But what did he do? He used that to cover up and to shield his rebellion. And he proclaimed himself king. And he tried to go and destroy his father. My brothers and sisters, it is everywhere. It's in God. Our scripture reading, Revelation 12:7 says, and there was war in heaven. Rebellion started in heaven. In God's house. But heaven is wonderful. Heaven, there has to be peace in heaven. If there can't even be peace in heaven, where can we be free from rebellion, my brothers and sisters? And my brothers, the reality is, don't be alarmed if rebellion is in your home, or in your marriage, or in your family, or in your school. Because if it even penetrated God's house, then, my brothers, that is something that we're going to have to deal with. Now, it's a story also, praise the Lord, of a mighty deliverer. The Star Wars is a story of someone who has gone to the greatest lengths to save each one of us. Oh, brothers, while we were yet sinners, we're told in the book of Romans, He took his royal crown. He took off his robe. He laid it all to come and save us. It's also the story, as we read, of a great adversary. Friends, as I mentioned, we are in a war. You may say, I don't want to be in a war. You don't have to choose. You don't have to do anything. In fact, those of you who were born in America, you didn't have to choose to be an American citizen. By the fact that you're born here, you're automatically a citizen. And friends, you don't have to choose to be in the war. The fact that we're already born in this conflict. No escape. Every single one of us have a part to play in this conflict between good and evil. You may say, I don't want to battle. I'm not going to take a side. Friends, you can lay your weapons down. Sure. You can drop your vigilance. And you can lay your weapons down. But you know, the devil is never going to lay his weapon down. He is never going to stop. He's going to continually come after you. It's not going to stop until someone is eliminated. And friends, you can choose not to get involved. But friends, you don't have to choose to be lost. We're already lost. But we have to choose to be saved in God's kingdom. We have to make a decision if we want to change sides. Now, listen to this. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 13 and verse 8. When was this plan of salvation put into motion? When did the plan to save man? When was it formulated? When was it instituted? When did God conceive of this plan? Notice what it says in Revelation 13, 8. It says, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. That's talking about the beast. It makes no sense to me. The Bible says that those who dwell on the earth will worship the beast. The great rebellion. Why would they choose to give their loyalty to someone who does not care? Why will they choose to serve Lucifer, the devil, his kingdom? What has he done for you? Here's what he does. He says, oh, you can eat what you eat. It. It's okay. You can eat the fruit. It's okay. You can have these friends. It's okay. You can drink this. It's okay. There's nothing wrong. Do it. It's all right. And the moment that you listen to his lies, the moment that you fall into temptation, what does he do? He accuses you. And he blames you. And he says, how dare you do such a thing? After he told you to do it. And he says, God will never listen to you. God will never forgive you. You have no worth. You have no value. After he told you to do it. Who would want to serve him? Why would you give? The Bible says the whole world will worship the beast and his image, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb. Now, what about the Lamb? The Lamb that was slain since the foundation of the earth. When did the plan to save man? When was it implemented and instituted? Way before sin came into the world. Think about that. Praise the Lord. That's who we have to serve. Someone who had all the situation already under control. We're serving someone who, before we were born, before there was sin, there was already a plan to save each one of us. We already had a Savior before we needed a Savior. God had everything covered, and he still has everything covered. Let's see how the plan was ratified. Notice this. This is story of redemption. I don't know, last time I was here, I told you I was going to bring this statement. Some of you may remember. Notice what it says. Page 42, story of redemption. Said my accompanying angel. This is when man fell into sin. It was a meeting took place in heaven. Said my accompanying angel, he, that's Jesus, is in close converse with his Father. The anxiety of the angel seemed to be intense while Jesus was communing with his Father. Listen to this. Three times he was shut in by the glorious light about the Father. And the third time he came out from the Father. Do you realize, my brothers and sisters, this is when our salvation was secured, long before you came to be born. Jesus approached the Father, and the Father was not consenting to the plan that Jesus had. And he had to come out. Jesus came again and presented his case before the Father. And the Father was not very enthusiastic about the plan. He was not. It just didn't seem like a very good plan for his son. And the Father was not consenting. And Jesus came in the third time and says, this is what I want to do. And finally the Father said, okay, if that's what you want to do, then I will also give myself. And I will dedicate myself, and I will give every resource from heaven so that this plan can be successful and so that this plan to save man can achieve. Praise the Lord. That's who you want to serve. That's who deserves your loyalty. Someone who did not give up for you while pleading for you before the Father. Praise God. Praise the Lord. And what was the conversation when he came out? It says he had been pleading with his Father and had offered to give his life a ransom to take the sentence of death upon himself, that through him man might find pardon. And Jesus came out and he laid out the plan of salvation before the angels. And he said, this is what's going to happen. This is how man will be saved. And the angels, they did not rejoice. The angels were in shock and in horror. And they said, no, that cannot be. And Jesus says, I have to give my life. No, Lord, you cannot give your life. I have to give my life. And so you know what the angels said next? The angel says, no, you don't give your life. We'll give our life. We'll give our life in behalf of man. And Jesus says, your life is not enough. It has to be me. But think about that, brothers and sisters. That's the society that deserves our respect and our admiration. That's the society, that's the party that you have to be a part of. The angels would willingly give their lives for us. And what has the devil done for us? Nothing, friends. All he does is try to accuse us and have us destroyed. And so that we can be discouraged and give up and no hope. Kill yourself, commit suicide, be destroyed in the last day. What has the devil hasn't done? Nothing for you. Why would the world serve you? But yet we look at the society of heaven. What have they done for us? Oh, friends, let's see the glorious prospects of our future. In the book of Revelation chapter 5, verse 9 and 10, describes the society in heaven. Those who are saved, those who are in God's kingdom. Notice what's on the lips of their mouth. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9 and 10. It says, regarding the redeemed, the song of the redeemed. It says, and they sung a new song, saying to Jesus, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kingdom and tongue and people and nation. Now notice verse 10. And has made us, that's you, my brothers. What has Christ made us? Notice. And has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Friends, you go from the gutter to the throne of God. You're not just a servant or a worker in God's kingdom. You're a king and a priest, a royal nation. That's what God offers you. Praise God. Praise God. That's what God offers as a result of those who join his side in this great conflict between good and evil. But we read about the war in heaven, Revelation chapter 12, and there was war in heaven. Rebellion began in God's house. We read that in Revelation 12, 7. But in 12, 9, it says, and the dragon was, notice, cast out. Revelation 12, 9 says the devil was cast out. He didn't leave on his own. I don't know if you've been in a situation where force had to be used to stop a situation. But they used force in heaven to remove the rebellious element. I remember I was in the store one time, and I don't know what the conflict was, but they asked somebody to leave, and they weren't going to leave. And I was there, I was just there trying to buy something and get out of the way. But the clerk and this customer, they were determined that they were going to do what they had to do. And then the clerk says, well, you got 10 seconds to get out of here. He started to count, 5, 10, 9, 8, 7. I was going to get out of there. But thankfully, by the time he got to 3, the man left. But you know, friends, they used some kind of force to remove Satan. Now, here's the point I want to make about this. In the book of, you don't have to turn there. But if you look at the book of Jude 1:6, we're told that if God did not spare his own angels, but cast them out of heaven, you think God's going to spare your rebellion and overlook your rebellion? No, friends. If God did not spare the antediluvians and the men of Sodom, do you think God's just going to change the rules now and accommodate your rebellion? No, friends. What is rebellion? Rebellion is when God says, this is the way. Walk ye this way. And man says, no, God. I'm not going to go that way. I'll go this way. I'll go this way. This way. This way. I'll go any other way. But I'm not going to go your way. That's rebellion, friends. And it's everywhere. It's in the air we breathe. And God did not spare the angels who rebelled against him. God did not consent to any changes in his law for his own angel. For the angel who stood in the very presence, who walked in the fire and the flames before the throne, the highest created being was Lucifer. After the Godhead, the next one in authority and power and glory was Lucifer. A mighty, majestic, glorious being. And God did not spare him in his own rebellion. And God is not a respecter of persons. Which means, as we're told in Jude 1, that he did not spare them. Don't think for a second that he will overlook my own rebellion. So he was cast out. He was cast out. But you know, in the Star Wars, in the movies, and we're about to close. In the movies, the rebellion never ends. It never stops. It looks like it was put down, but then they come up with another movie to make more money. It's marketing. It's marketing. But in the real Star Wars, in the real story between good and evil, Michael has defeated the dragon. He's lost already. He defeated him not just in heaven. That was round one. That was just round one. But he defeated him on the cross again. And he has been defeating him throughout this whole 6,000 year controversy between good and evil. But here's what we have to think about. The rebellion will be blotted out. I'm going to read to you from inspiration. And I have to read it from inspiration because then somebody might want to challenge me after I finish my sermon. So let me read it from inspiration. What the Lord says about how the rebellion will be blotted out. This is from the book Prophets and Kings, page 276. God allows men a period of probation, but there is a point beyond which divine patience is exhausted. The Lord bears long with men, with cities, with families. I'm adding that. The Lord bears long with individuals, even the hard-headed ones. He bears long with them. He is merciful. He is long-suffering. His anger is very slow to grow and to act. He gave the Canaanites 400 years of mercy and provision. He gave the antediluvians, we read about 120 years, but since the seventh from Adam, Enoch was preaching to that society. He gave them 300 years and then another 120 years. Because he's merciful. He's long-suffering. The Lord bears long with men, with cities, mercifully giving warnings to save them. What is the purpose of probation? What is the purpose of mercy and grace? So that we can come to repentance and be saved. So that we can turn around. Not so that we can continue in rebellion. Probation is given not so that you can continue in sin and disobedience, but that men may come to repentance. It says, but the time will come when the pleadings for mercy will no longer be heard, and the rebellious element that continues to reject light and truth will be blotted out in mercy to themselves and to those who would otherwise be influenced by their example. Oh, my brothers and sisters. And it doesn't matter where that rebellion is. Maybe we think, well, if it's in the world, yes, God has to deal with that. But how about if it's in my home? What happens if it's in my life? What happens if it's among God's people? What about that one? What about the one in the schools and in society? Friends, it doesn't matter where it is. Rebellion for the sake of the righteous as well as for the sinners will be removed. But not on my timing or your timing, in God's perfect timing of mercy and justice. And friends, there's coming a time where it will be too late. But it's not too late today. Praise the Lord. And that's why you may say, Andy, why do you have to talk about that? Well, brothers, we have to while there's time. The time will come where we won't have to say anything about it. But as long as the day of probation is open, as long as there's an opportunity for us to turn around, we must stop to think about that. What's going to happen in Daniel 12? The mighty deliverer will come, the Bible says. This is the final round right here, round 10. This is when the final knockout will take place and Satan will be forever defeated. The Bible says that at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, the mighty deliverer. And there shall be a great time of trouble. Round 10, the final conflict. And you and I, my brothers, are going to be right in the middle of that. And it's during this time, you read Daniel 12, it is at this time that God's people will be delivered. Jesus is coming again to receive each one of us who has chosen to align ourselves in his kingdom and on his side. Friends, there's only one question that you have to ask yourself, that you have to answer for yourself. Do I want to align myself with Jesus and triumph in his kingdom? Or am I going to be blotted out in the last day with all those who refuse to hear the sweet voice of the Holy Spirit calling me to come back? That's a choice we have to make. I can't make that choice for you. The pastor cannot do that for you. Your mother and father cannot do that to you. Did you know that the church cannot save you? The church can admonish you. The church can sing beautiful music. The church can encourage you. Not even your mom and dad can save you. If you want to triumph with Jesus in his kingdom, you have to give your heart. You have to get on your knees. You have to ask God, place me on your side. You have to make that decision. No one can make that for you. But friends, we can encourage you to do it. And for your own happiness. Because the benefits start here. The joy, the peace, the clear conscience, the assurances of eternity, they begin here and right now. Let's bow our heads. We thank you, Lord, for your many blessings. We thank you for your care and for your protection. Oh, Lord, we thank you for all that you have done and all that you are doing in behalf of us. We thank you, Lord, for not sparing any expense, but for giving everything on behalf of us. Oh, Lord, what can we do in return but give the only thing we have, which is our heart? Also, Father, we choose, Lord, we choose not just for this day, but for eternity, Lord, as a commitment. We choose, Lord, to be on your side. It may not be the most pleasant side. We might be ridiculed, but we know you were too. But we know that one thing that's certain. We know who wins in the end. And we see them by the sea of glass with harps, singing songs of praises throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity. Oh, Lord, we want to be part of that company. In fact, Lord, we are part of that company here on this side of heaven. We thank you, Lord, for what you've done. And if we are found worthy, Lord, to be in thy kingdom someday, we will continue to worship you for all eternity. That is our prayer and that is our desire. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name.